Verity Films presents Charles Laughton and Maureen O'Hara in Jamaica Inn. A Palmer Laughton production, adapted from the novel by Daphne du Maurier. With Leslie Banks, Emlyn Williams, Robert Newton, Maureen Ney, and Wiley Watson. And introducing Maureen O'Hara. Screenplay by Sidney Gilliatt and Joan Harrison. Dialogue by Sidney Gilliatt. Continuity by Alma Reville. Photography by Hugh Stradlin in collaboration with Bernard Knowles. Settings by Tom Monahan. Costumes by Molly MacArthur. Music by Eric Fenby. Musical director Frederick Lewis. Directed by Alfred Hitchcock. Produced by Eric Palmer. The cast: Sir Humphrey Pengallen, Charles Laughton, his butler, Horace Hodges, his groom, Hay Petrie, his agent, Frederick Piper, his tenants, Herbert Lomas, Claire Greet, William Devlin, his friends, Jean de Casals, Mabel Terry Lewis, Bromley Davenport, George Curzon, Basil Radford, Joss Merlin, Leslie Banks, Patience, his wife, Maureen Ney, Mary, his niece, Maureen O'Hara, his gang, Harry the Peddler, Emlyn Williams, Salvation Watkins, Wiley Watson, Sea Lawyer Sidney, Moreland Graham, Dandy, Edwin Greenwood, Thomas, Mervyn Johns, Jem Traherne, Robert Newton. O Lord, we pray thee, not that wrecks should happen, but that if they do happen, thou wilt guide them to the coast of Cornwall for the benefit of the poor inhabitants. So ran an old Cornish prayer of the early 19th century. But in that lawless corner of England, before the British Coast Guard Service came into being, there existed gangs who, for the sake of plunder, deliberately planned the wrecks, luring ships to their doom on the cruel rocks of the wild Cornish coast. As the ocean pounds madly on a rocky shoreline, a wooden sign with the name Jamaica Inn swings on a post. Behind it, the inn, an ancient structure of wood and stone, stands isolated on a Cornish moor. A man cloaked in black slips from the inn, mounts a horse, and rides away in great haste. Across the deserted heath, he gallops. He stops at a tall headland overlooking the sea. There is a large, bright lantern high on a mast. He dismounts, looks out to sea, and spies a sailing ship battered by wind and wave. Aboard the ship, huge waves crash over the decks. Covers the lantern with his cloak.
Well, a frosty storm, it appears. Now, what for a light? Nothing there!
Searching for a friendly beacon, the ship lurches nearer the deadly rocks. By the storm, she goes aground, spilling lifeboats from her deck. The force of the impact brings her mast crashing down. The sailors jump ship and struggle ashore in the raging surf. Ruffians rush out from the base of the cliffs. The exhausted survivors are knifed and clubbed without mercy. Following their leader's orders, the ruffians plunge into the waves, stabbing and drowning the sailors.
Thank you.
rats. They swarm over the wreck, murdering as they go. They open the cargo hatch. Some scramble into the hold. From man to man, the loot is passed onto the shore. Wreckers trudge up the stormy beach.
You're sure no one got away?
Can you reckon on that, John? Aye, you can reckon on that. John!
A gang member spots a lone survivor and points him out to the leader.
I told you to make certain you're cold. Can't you use your eyes? Do you want a lot of us to swim?
Drawing his dagger, one villain goes back. Wipes the bloodied knife on his sleeve. The storm rages on. Overhead, the moon shines through a break in the clouds. It lights the way for a coach and four passing along a deserted road. The coachman speaks to his outside passenger.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. That place gives me the creeps.
That place, Jamaica Inn, got a bad name. It's not healthy. That's why there's queer things goes on there. Queer things. I won't stop there, not if she were to offer me double fare.
Inside the coach, a beautiful young woman rides with an elderly couple. The young woman smiles.
Is Jamaica Inn on this road?
The couple exchange a fearful glance.
Yes.
The young lady looks puzzled.
How much further is Jamaica Inn?
Come on. Come on.
The coachman stirs his horses into a full gallop.
Come on, jump.
Why are we going so fast? What's happened? Are the horses bolted?
It's Jamaica Inn.
But this is where I want to get out. Hi, coachman, why don't you stop? I want to get out. Coachman, it's the wheel, fool. Put on the front. Why don't you stop, fool? Stop, I tell you.
Ignoring her, the coachman passes the inn at full speed. He stops a good distance further on. The young woman gets out.
Haven't you stopped? Are you deaf? I've been shouting myself silly. You've taken me right past Jamaica Inn. Turn around and take me back at once.
You better try Squire Pengallon's instead. They say he's partial to young women. Here's your box. Get up!
She stands by the road, watching the coach disappear. Then she turns her attention to the nearby manor of Squire Pengallon. Its classical lines, built in stone and marble, speak of the wealth and taste of its owner. At dinner, the squire entertains lavishly.
I think we owe a toast to Sir Humphrey.
Sir Humphrey?
This was Julia.
Pengallon. Thank you. Might have asked you to drink the health of His Brand New Majesty, George the Fourth. I forgot. Thank you, sir. I haven't been on speaking terms for years with a fat fool.
You were much in his company at one time, I think, Sir Humphrey.
Yes. And Charlie Fox and Sheridan would be there with him in the pavilion as fighting. In those days, he was still a gentleman. Now he's nothing but a painted bag of maraschino and plum pudding. Lord George. Pass the Madeira.
Lord, summer, we make poor of the lick. Make you admire the most, Sir Humphrey.
Chadwick!
He calls his butler.
Which lake did I admire the most?
Windermere, sir.
Windermere.
It is very beautiful. Why not a toast to beauty?
Sir Humphrey.
Why not? A chat with my figurine. I need inspiration to get. Oh, there's beauty.
But he's not alive.
More alive than half the people here. Look at him. What? You want to see beauty alive? Chadwick! Ask him how long Nancy is going to be.
Nancy?
Most beautiful creature west of Exeter.
You see, Lady Beston, that's why he stays here and never comes to London anymore. He keeps the girls here.
The monster. Then I would prefer not to make such a...
No, 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 I'm sorry.
Yes, by Jove. Hurry in, Pengallon.
There she is. My exquisite Nancy.
The groom leads a racehorse into the dining room.
Brought me in 100 guineas yesterday. You ran away with a bodmin tube-chase, didn't you, there? Chadwick, what's that?
It's a woman, sir.
Well, don't argue with your women when I'm entertaining company.
I think it's supposed to let me friend it. I'll ask you whatever you want
to say. Let's have a look at her. Ringwood. That's a 20 to 1 in guineas. She's ugly.
I'll take it.
Squire Pengallon goes to his front door. When she turns to him, he stops in his tracks, struck by her beauty.
Would you oblige me by taking off my coat for a moment?
Why should I?
I have a waiter here. Always respect a waiter. Would you allow me?
Gently, he folds her coat away from one shoulder.
You're exquisite shape, too. My dear, you're a beast.
Ringwood! You've won!
He tosses a small purse into the dining room, where it lands on the table, spilling money. He walks around her admiringly.
She walks in beauty like the night. The cloudless times and starry skies. All that's best of dark and bright is in her aspect. And her eyes.
Thank you, sir. But I didn't come for poetry, but for a horse.
A horse?
Be worthy of Lord Byron's poetry. You shall have the horse. My name is Sir Humphrey Pengallon. I'm Squire of Pengallon and Justice of Peace.
I'm Mary Yellen from Ireland.
And you're going where?
Could you make it in?
Did you make it? You can't go there.
Why not?
Sam! This young lady wants to know why she can't go to Jamaica Inn. Will you tell her?
Oh, there ain't enough there, miss. No place for a young lady.
See, even Sam knows that. No, better stay. Yeah.
No, of course not. I've come all the way from Ireland alone because I've nobody there now.
Your parents?
I'm going to Jamaica Inn because my Aunt Patience is there. What a lovely horse.
Yeah. Could you ride her?
Yes, of course. I've been riding since I was a child.
Well, you shall ride her to begin. Hmm?
Thank you. Oh, but I've got a box outside.
Oh, I'll take the box and conduct her myself to your relative. Sam, saddle the bay as well. Chadwick! Chadwick, this is Miss Mary Yellen who's going to Jamaica Inn.
So she said, sir. I don't understand.
I've never understood anything, Chadwick, so why be surprised at yourself now? Will you try to understand this? Yellen is my friend. She returns here at any time, admit her at once. And see that she has everything she requires.
Yes, Sir Humphrey.
And give me my greatcoat and muffler. And a big scarf for this lady. Pardon me. Chadwick, I have some hot brandy when I come back. And she'll make it a warming pan in the bed.
Very good, Sir Humphrey. If you will wait a moment, miss, I'll get the scarf.
But I really don't need it.
Again, he circles her, admiring. Later, they pass the old signpost and canter into the yard. The squire helps her alight.
If I can be of any service, please command me. Remember, I'm Pengallon. This is Pengallon Land.
Don't forget now.
No, I won't.
Good night, Miss Yellen.
Good night, Sir Humphrey.
She waves goodbye as he rides off. Alone now, Mary looks around doubtfully. A strange face peers at her from a window. She goes to the door. Before she can knock, it opens.
Who's there?
It's the gang leader, lantern in one hand, pistol in the other.
What do you want?
Does Mrs. Patience Merlin live here?
She might, and she might not. Depending on your business.
I'm her niece from Ireland. You must have heard. I'm coming to live with my aunt and uncle.
What? What's that in your head? Who told you so, eh?
That's my business. Go and tell your master I'm here.
Aren't you going to give me a kiss first?
You'll suffer for this when my uncle's told of it. I'll have you turned out of here. You'll see.
Oh, you wouldn't be hard on us, ma'am. You see, your aunt had missed me.
Get out of my way, I...
Correct. Entirely correct. I'm your aunt's loving husband. Your great big uncle, Joss.
Come on. Who's there?
A tired-looking woman, thin and pale, approaches the door.
There we are.
Aunt Patience. Mary, Mary, my sister. Mary. You know me then, Aunt Patience?
Yes, my dear. You told that to your mother. When I heard your voice at first, I thought it was hers. And then when I saw you, I thought for the moment.
She said you were expecting her to stay.
No, Jack, no. But I wrote to you telling you everything. Nothing, please. You wrote.
Mary, you're in black.
Yes. Mother died 3 weeks ago today.
Well, that was big.
How did it happen?
She hadn't been well, but she said she must leave her bed and work. You know how Mother was.
Joss goes to the bar. A door opens, and the whistling pirate sticks his head in. Joss waves him away.
Patience, don't stand there yappering, woman. Get the girl's box inside.
Yes, yes, Joss.
No, no, Aunt Patience, let me.
They pick it up together.
Easy, easy. Your new uncle's very particular. He's not the sort of little ugly ladies spoil themselves with rough work. He knows different of Joss. Lively good at Patience, my dear.
I'll take this end.
No, I can manage it. It isn't heavy, Mary. Truly, it doesn't matter. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Mary, Mary, don't.
Oh, I've had pretty women pay me compliments before. Stand clear there.
Joss heaves the box halfway up the stairs.
There. Oh, Mary's a little bit sour tonight, but bless you, the best of us can't be sweet-tempered on an empty belly. Fill it up for me.
Oh, yes, I'll get her something to eat. Mary, if you'll come with me. I won't be a minute if you'll sit down and rest. I'll set the table. No, 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 no. You'll be tired after your long journey. I'm not. Where's the cloth and supper thing? Over there in the little drawer.
It's nothing. Oh, listen, they've customers in the parlor. They'll be going soon, no doubt.
The laughter brings Joss in a hurry.
Keep it quiet. You see, boys, we've got a visitor. Harry told us.
She's a neat piece from what I've seen of her. Very neat.
That's all you think of. Women. Vanities of the flesh. Following petticoats along the path to everlasting corruption.
Salvation's up again.
You can laugh now. But you'll sing a different tune when you're roasting in a consuming fire that's waiting for all of us. Me included.
Where are you going, Harry? To pay me respect. She's not partial to your sort, Harry.
What about me and the new lace stuff?
Anything in mind that way yourself?
Well, I hadn't given the matter a thought, but I might.
I said I might, Harry.
All right, Doc. Added to which, she's my wife's niece from Ireland.
Why didn't you say that before?
My business, Harry, my business.
I knew a girl once come from Ireland. Talked funny, she did, like a foreigner. But it was all right.
I'm not what you expected, am I? I was only a child when you went away on pension. I can only just remember you, that's all.
And what was I like then?
You were beautiful. Was I? Yes, I suppose I was. No doubt your mother told you all about it. You're thinking I'm paid out for leaving home, for running away.
No, I'm
well, you're wrong. Joss has been a good husband to me. There's nothing I'd change, even if I could.
It's hard work, and it's risky work. It's work we'll rot in chains for one day. All in a neat row. And what do we get out of it? Next to nothing. Why, a man's share don't come to enough to hold body and soul together. That last break didn't bring him what it should have. That's what I said.
That's what you said.
I know, that's what Sidney said.
Oh, you've been yapping, eh?
No, Mr. Merlin,
I'm going off your arithmetic, eh? Doing pretty sums for poor lads that can't read nor reckon.
No.
They're out to lift the goods, not set a price on them.
Just a minute, Joss.
Joss turns to face his accuser.
I told him the last fall didn't catch a quarter of what it should have done.
You did, eh?
Reckoning by our share of it. Maybe you're not getting the right price for the stuff. Maybe there's a leak somewhere.
Joss looks around at the hard faces turned to him.
You're looking thoughtful, Harry. Perhaps you'll give us the benefit of your sentiments, if any. About this leak, I think the word is. If you've a notion in your mind, Harry, don't be bashful. Spit it out. We'd be glad to listen.
I wouldn't know about that, Doc.
Well, perhaps I would. Supposing there is a leak, and supposing it happens before the goods get to the inn, do you follow me? Some absent-minded chap might mislay a piece or two, in a manner of speaking. On the way up from the wreck, have you ever thought of that? How long have you been with me, Harry?
A matter of 5 years, Doc.
Salvation?
We've been lost souls together for 2 years and 7 months, Doc.
Sidney?
Almost 2.5 years, Mr. Merlin.
Dandy?
See now, I was carrying on with a bit in Penn's arms around that time. Here she is, Annie. I think she's 4 years, Joss. And you? I'll tell them for you. Mr. Treherne has been with us the enormous time of 2 months. 8 weeks. 56 days. How's that for arithmetic? What do you say to that, Mr. Treherne?
Just
clear out!
He goes to Patience standing in the doorway and raises his fist.
Just please.
They go into the next room.
Why, what's wrong?
Just, there is just time. She came to be in the Squire Pendallon. He asked why she was coming here and about us. And seeing his magistrate, I thought, Joss, you don't think he found out anything?
Patience follows him to the kitchen.
What's this about Sir Humphrey, eh? How did you come to meet him?
Why, I called on him. The coach took me a long way past here, so I went to the house for help. Sir Humphrey was very kind and most obliging. He knows how to behave towards a woman. He even lent me a horse to ride here, one that won him 100 guineas in the county steeplechase.
Joss goes into the bar for a bottle of liquor and a glass, then heads for the stairs. Halfway up, he throws Mary's box to the top landing. Then he goes to a room at the end of the upstairs hall.
We didn't get the all we hoped for tonight, sir. There was a full gale blowing down there, and the ship broke clean into...
The room is full of fine and beautiful things, including a bolt of rich gold cloth.
Get a pair of scissors, Merlin.
Why did you leave this blood out? What do you think we're conducting? Slaughterhouse, cut it off.
Well, there were so many of them come from the game, it was proper hard butchered with.
Well, what are they to live for? Poor scum, you are right to put them out of their misery. Look at this exquisite stuff. Worth the miserable lives of 100 rum rotten sailors, perfection of its own kind. That's all that matters, Merlin, whatever is perfect is kind. I transport all the riffraff in Bristol to Botany Bay to save one beautiful woman a single headache. Something you don't understand, never will. But you're neither a philosopher nor a gentleman. You made certain. No survivors.
Certain, sure, sir. And I'm sorry about that girl, Mary, sir. We didn't know she was coming. If she'd been alarm, I'll get away myself first thing in the morning.
Make up the fire. It's cold. Yes. Give me this.
Yes. Didn't expect you so soon, sir, before I put the light in the window.
And was told to stare out a night like this.
Taking a bit of a risk, wasn't it, Sir Humphrey, coming here before I got patients and the men out of the way?
Everything's a risk. This girl, Mary, not the right character. Mind for her.
Oh, you leave her to me, sir. I'll manage her just like I manage my patients. Do you recall the stuff, Sir Humphrey?
I don't see any resemblance, your wife.
Oh, maybe not, but my patients were a bit of a beauty when I married her. Why, I remember...
This won't do, Merlin. It's not enough.
No, sir, it's not quite what we look for. Better luck next time, eh, Sir Humphrey? And we can deal with it. The men are getting a bit impatient-like. Oh, I can deal with them all right, but they're asking where the money goes.
They say they want more. What for? What they're in a judge silver with a blue ring, you sell them. Listen, Merlin. I want more. I know what to do with money when I have it. That's why I must have it. You understand? I must have it.
Yes, sir. Anything more this week while the weather still holds?
Perhaps tomorrow. You'll know in time. I've been thinking about your wife's niece, Mary. It seems a pity to bundle her off before she's seen anything of the county. I've nothing against her stopping. Provided, of course, she's kept out of the way. Good night.
Noise of fighting brings Joss back downstairs. He stops by the kitchen.
Your rooms, both of you. Officials, take us up upstairs.
The gang has turned on Treherne, the newcomer. They back him up against a post, rough hands at his throat. Upstairs.
Now try and sleep, dear. You must be tired. Good night.
They searched Treherne's wallet.
You was right, Joss. See that? Best part of £15 in gold.
Joss smiles, then assumes a frown.
What did I tell you?
You've got yourself in a pretty mess, Mr. Treherne.
What have you got to say?
Give me a drink. Choking is your best.
Thomas, I'm sure you'll oblige the gentleman. Seems I'm a good guesser, Mr. Treherne.
How'd you get it? Say,
you mean you've been selling stuff on the side? I'm ashamed of you, Mr. Treherne. That's what I am. Taking the bread out of the mouths of your pals.
There's your leak.
Not true. He's making fools of the lorry. Where do you think the stuff goes? Who gets rid of it? Do you think Joss is in this by himself? Well, go on, ask him.
Joss hits him with a heavy pewter mug.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
The dirty
thief.
Yes,
for it, all right. Ah, he done us, we do him.
What are we all waiting for?
Harry, the whistler, takes a coil of rope from a peg on the wall.
Any other room keeping a fire at night, please? About 6'2" off the floor. What?
Unnoticed. Mary watches from her room above through a gallery window.
Hold on. I'll see if the women are out of the way. Don't want a lot of squawking.
Hurry up!
It's a new chapter here, and they found this gold on it.
Know anything about him?
Well, he came from St. Ives a couple of months ago, recommended by a pal.
You can't just keep him out, that's obvious.
Well, he might talk. The men want to string him up tonight.
Really? That's a trifle formal.
No,
pistol. Oh, no, too noisy. Of course, you wouldn't want to alarm your wife's niece.
I suppose it's as good a way as any. Right. No need for you to go. Tell him. I haven't finished talking to you.
Harry.
Yes?
Get on with it. I'll be down in a minute.
Come on, Salvation, look sharp.
Salvation and another thug carry the unconscious man back to their meeting room.
Stand back, the rest of you. We don't want any golfers here.
This is private, see? If you want the public hanging, said, you won't have to wait long, and you get a fine view of it from the best position, inside the rope.
Now,
you're not old enough yet.
What about Yachty? He says to get it over.
Is this the place, Harry? Yes. Plenty of clearance. Anything worth doing, I say, is worth doing proper.
Upstairs, Mary finds a crack in the floor she can see through.
Come on, bring him over here.
Let's make a quick job of it before he comes round.
I won't be a party to that, Thomas.
But you've been kind to him. You won't know nothing about it, Salvation.
It's no kindness to send a man into the next world on the worse. It's even. That's what it is, I say. Bring him round with a nip of spirits and give him a fair chance to meditate.
I don't like the thought of it, Salvation. It's like doing it in cold blood.
Come on, he's heavy.
What do you say, Harry?
I say, shut your misbegotten mouths, both of you. At it again, Dandy. Grab, grab, grab all the time. We'll spin a coin for them buckles when I say the word. Just have a light.
Harry tosses the rope over a roof beam. In silent horror, she watches them hang Treherne.
All together. Oh.
Dandy steals his shoe buckles. Harry and the others give chase. Mary spots the knife on her dinner plate.
Don't you let him have him, Harry!
Go on, Harry.
While the men fight in another room, Mary pulls up the loose board, reaches down, and cuts the rope. She slips downstairs to the stricken man.
You've got to get out of here. I'll be back in a minute. Please, you have to try. Quick.
Mary supports him as he stumbles to a door. Upstairs, Joss is seeing the squire out.
You mustn't stop. Get away.
I couldn't leave Aunt Patience. Oh, please, you must hurry.
They wait as Squire Pengallen leaves by another door and rides away. Treherne melts into the night. Mary goes back inside. She hides as the fight ends. Then runs up to her room. Once there, she stares in shock.
There you are, my dear. Been saying goodnight to Patience? Yes, I've been thinking things over. She's a sweet, pretty girl, I said to myself, with a lot of character. It seems a pity to send her away before she's hardly seen anything of the county. She can stay here, I said, just as long as she feels in time.
Stop! Stop! Come down, Stop!
In the hallway, Joss and Patience trade hard looks.
He's been took, Joss.
What, who?
Yeah, he's been took by the angel.
Well, of course he's been took, I know that.
But alive, Joss. Alive.
Yes. It was you. You set that man free.
Listen to me. You must leave Jamaica in now, this minute, do you hear?
There you are. That blasted girl, I'll kill her.
For pity's sake, go now. Before Joss comes up.
Patience hurries her niece out the upstairs door.
Where's that girl? Where is she?
You let her go.
Outside, she hesitates. An arm reaches down and lifts her onto a shed roof. It's Treherne.
Thomas, take this lamp. Look at the stable.
We
stay out
all night.
Not a sign of either of them.
They've got clear. Any luck now?
Well, if we don't find them, we'll swing for it like as not.
Harry, yes, take a couple of men down to the coast, yeah?
Thomas, get your brother. Any of our chaps you can find in the village. Search the moors. Keep on looking.
What you going to do, Joss?
I'm going to take the Bodmin Turnpike.
All right.
At Pengallen Manor.
Thomas! It's very late, sir.
She was a very charming girl, Chet.
I didn't mention it before, sir, but the butcher was here while you were at dinner. He wants his account settled.
Remarkably unattractive occupation, Chadwick. Drearily dismembering carcass after carcass.
Well, right? I suppose they must live, sir.
Must they?
There's nearly £40 going to the butcher, 35 to the baker. You see, sir, butcher, baker.
Butcher and baker there, you old numbskull!
The squire throws the bills over the balcony railing onto the floor below. Slowly, Chadwick gathers them.
Sorry. Chadwick, what? Doing your duty.
It's all, Master Humphrey.
These outbursts of mine are quite inexcusable. I can't think what comes over me. By the way, Chadwick, what happened to my grandfather? Went mad, didn't he, huh?
Joss is at the window. Pengallen waves him away.
No need you to think about Chadwick. Go to bed.
Pengallen goes out into his gardens.
How dare you come here to me? Haven't I told you a score of times?
Yes, but Treherne's got away. That girl set him free. I couldn't help it while I was with you.
What have you done with her?
She's gone too.
A general exodus, apparently. You persuaded your wife to remain, I hope.
The men are out looking for them now. We're doing our best.
Is that all you came here to say?
I'm sorry, Squire, but that chap Treherne knows too much. If he was to inform against me and the others...
You're losing your head, Merlin. If Mr. Treherne lives to do any informing, he'll do it here. I'm the only justice in the neighborhood. If you can't keep your wits about you, would you kindly allow me to keep mine? If I didn't, you'd never see another Vic. And the brains are out. The body dies, Merlin. And I needn't remind you that in this little organization, you and your fellows are only the carcass. Your brains are here, huh?
I'm sorry, I was only trying to warn you.
Will you let me do the warning? If you want any more fat pickings on the shore, you just obey orders. And don't come down again. Get up! Get up!
Next morning. Mary awakens in a cave by the sea. Treherne's arm is around her. near his free hand is a dagger. He is still asleep. Carefully, she rises. At the mouth of the cave is a small boat. As Mary gets into it and pushes off, Traherne awakes.
Hey, what? Come back, what are the... What do you think you're doing?
Let go!
Don't be a fool. You'll never get anywhere. You can't even row.
Leave me alone!
You're not afraid of me. Now, you are. Well, that's women for you. Save your life 1 minute, frightened with her own the next.
She looks at the blood dried on his face.
Yes, I'm not a very pretty sight at the moment, but I don't bite you.
Do you think I don't know why my aunt is frightened for her life? That I don't know what you and the rest of you are doing at Jamaica Inn?
Oh, what?
Thieves, smugglers, cutthroats for all I know, and I'm not saying...
Their boat has drifted out from shore. From above, the ruffians spot the drifting boat.
Look! Harry, here! A very significant piece of flotsam, eh?
Came out of the cave.
Suppose you ask your brother to take it for a nice row. You follow me?
Huh?
I go too, Harry.
I saw it first.
Now, you cut back and tell Joss everything's lovely. Go on, run. Dandy, you go get some rope. This way.
Harry and two others head for the cave. Two more ruffians put out in a boat.
Done. Tide's going out now, but it'll be high water again before dark. We can't stay here without that boat. Oh, well, we'll have to run for it, that's all, as soon as the tide's low enough. Trust me, the land herself with a woman. On the other hand, of course, you did save my life.
I hope you make better use of it in the future.
Well, that's a tall order for a desperate character like me.
No doubt.
A smuggler and a cutthroat, I think, is it?
Very likely.
Do you think there's any hope for me? Tell me, what ought I to do?
Anything you please.
Well, I used to be a sailor. I can go back to sea.
I'm not in the least interested.
You must be. Don't forget you're responsible for.
I am not.
Oh, yes.
The cave has an opening at the top. The ruffians lower a rope with a book tied on the end.
Oh, please be quiet.
Oh, cheer up. You'll be there by...
Take the little book, Mr. Tweeran. There's a beautiful hymn on page 13. While at death's door I trembling stand. Very confident.
Next dying a pleasure, so he says.
Name some couple they make. Breaks me up to disturb them. Coming down!
Will you send the lady up first, or do you fancy the trip yourself?
Ladies first, I always say.
What can we do?
They know we're stuck. I've seen the boat drift down.
Just in case you'd like a bit of help, Mr. Treherne, your old friend Thomas is coming down to offer his arm.
Treherne shakes the rope. Thomas falls, knocking himself out.
Done. Any more, we're fond of company.
You'll get it all right, never you fear.
It'll be a pleasure, Harry. Come on, who's it to be?
Be a belcher. Grab this. Slip it on the bit of rock. Quick.
You hear that? There's only one way out of this.
Can you swim?
Just to please you, Mr. Treherne, so you won't feel lonely. We're all three coming down.
Please don't trouble with me.
Can you swim?
I tell you I'll only be in the way. It'll be hard enough for you getting away alone. I'll be all right. Just dare and harm me.
Swim.
A little.
Take off that dress.
What?
And your shoes, quick.
But I can't do that.
Take it off.
I can't.
All right, then I will.
No, you won't. I will.
Harry, Salvation, and Dandy start down.
Happy day, Mr. Jobson. We've been up all night.
Yes, it'll be nice to get to bed.
What about the girl, Harry? Could we hand her over to Joss?
Come on.
Treherne and Mary plunge into the waves. The ruffians find the cave empty.
That's the spirit of being fine. That's funny. First time I've seen a woman swimming.
It's gone!
Look, it's got a boat coming this way.
Where's Ox? Hang on to my shoulder. You all right?
Mary and Traherne hide in the water behind a low rock to escape the pursuers in the boat. Manor, it's rent day.
Darland? Well, good morning, Darland. Have you got a taste of that slow gin of yours this year? Now then.
I'm 3 pounds short, Squire Pengallen.
Now, Darland, I told you... Quiet, Davis. Darland, I want money just as you do. I can't be Squire Pengallen on nothing. Why are you 3 pounds short?
That lad of mine, he went down with a bad leg and it won't heal.
Take him to Dr. McIntosh at Dublin, give the doctor my compliments, ask him to take a look at the leg. Pay the 3 pounds next time.
Thank you, Squire.
Give him a receipt, Davis.
But, Sir Humphrey, I won't...
A receipt, Davis. Please remember, this man's forefathers were farming Pengallen land. And yours were hedge tinkers. Next.
Where can we go? Which way?
We best make for the turnpike.
Wait. What house is that over there?
The Squire's.
You mean for Humphrey?
Yeah.
I know him. I was there last night. He'd be glad to help us. Come on.
Good.
This is the fellow I mentioned, Sir Humphrey. Third kid. A rank radical.
Birkin.
Very well, Birkin. Come to complain. I want my rights.
Your rights? I don't listen to that sort of talk.
There's the law on my side.
You haven't. I'm the law here in Pengallen, and you haven't me on your side and won't have while you take that tone. Next thing you'll be telling me you're as good as I am.
Well, I'm a man. Same as you.
Put that out of your head, my friend, before it lands you in the house. Not as good as I am, and never will be. Nature was against it from the start, and everything else has been against it since. I'm a gentleman.
Are you great?
Have him run out, Davis. Don't give him 24 hours.
If you please, Squire Pengallen.
Why, if it isn't Greenwich or Marley.
Yes, Your Honor. It's my roof. I've complained to Mr. Davis about it, but he takes no notice. And it's leaking all the time now.
Give her a new roof, Davis. Mr. Humphrey, you know.
I said a new roof.
She's my oldest tenant. While I'm here, she'll be snug. Begad, I'm the only man under the rank of Marquis who ever gambled 10 years at White's Club and kept his estate out of the hands of the moneylenders. And while I've a roof, she shall have one.
I must be, Sir Humphrey.
What's this?
I told you, any time I came here, you'd let me in. It's very important.
My dear child, what has happened? You're soaked to the skin. Chadwick, get Mrs. Black and close the door. Come to the fire. Tell them to go now, Davis, some other time. But you're positively blue with cold. What's happened? Where have you been?
Swimming.
For our lives. Who is this?
This is Jem Traherne. We got away from Jamaica Inn last night. It's a horrible place. I think it's nothing better than a den of smugglers. They'd have murdered him there last night.
She saved my life, sir.
Well, this is extraordinary.
Sir Humphrey, we need your help. My aunt's still there. If you only knew...
Yes, yes, you must tell me the whole story, but first of all, we must find you some dry things or you'll catch. Hello, Mrs. Black. Take this young lady upstairs. See if you can find her something to wear.
Sir, will you come this way, miss? Could I speak to you for a moment, please?
Of course.
The squire escorts her to the base of the stairs.
Well, we see what we can do.
Thank you, you're very kind.
Now, the door.
Pengallen watches until she is out of sight. He ignores Traherne.
Oh, excuse me. Chadwick! Get the bread and beer. I'll see you with you later.
Pengallen joins some guests in the dining room.
We're in a state of most disastrous chances. Moving accidents by flood and field, of hairbreadth escapes and even a dead debris. What? Captain Murray will send dinner.
I should like to, Sir Humphrey. You keep the best table in Cornwall.
Yeah, I should hope so. Where I go?
I'm due to rejoin my ship at Falmouth this afternoon. By the time you've finished your pork and walnuts tonight, I shall be sailing past the house.
The deuce you will.
Sir Humphrey, I must have a word with you.
Well?
In private.
There's nothing you could tell me these gentlemen shouldn't know. One of a gang of smugglers from Jamaica Head, huh?
Smugglers, eh? You got any good brandies through?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I've got a list of them here.
You are kindly remember, I'm a justice of the peace.
Nevertheless, Sir Humphrey, I think you'll be rather interested in these brandies.
Traherne hands him a paper. It's a warrant from the Home Office. Jem Traherne is an officer of the law.
Gentlemen, think I must look into this matter in private. Huh? Come along, my dear friend.
Like it, Ben Gell. If you don't find something good for me, I'll report you to the commission.
After all, I placed some bread and beer for this person in the harness room.
Have you now? Hmm? Place some cold chicken and carrot for this person in the study.
Sir?
See if you can find some clothes for Mr. Traherne. Man, I imagine would be a trifle generous. One of Lord George's would be nearer the mark.
This gentleman?
Yes, will you hurry? Hurry.
Mr. Humphrey.
My dear sir, I must apologize because I have the least idea who you were. What you want now is a stiff glass of brandy, huh? With your feminine dry clothes.
I'm as awfully obliged to you.
That's all. Come in.
I think I'd better explain that I hold the rank of lieutenant in His Majesty's Royal Navy.
Oh.
I was seconded to duty from the Home Office. I'm afraid I've been at some pains to conceal my identity.
No doubt with good reason, though. I still haven't the least notion what it's all about, but swallow some brandy before you tell me. You know, I've always had a great admiration for the service. And you, Collingwood, well, fine fellow. All fine fellows. A trifle desiccated, perhaps. One can't have everything. Well, and what is all this business? Smuggling?
No, it's much worse than that, sir. Wrecking. Deliberate, organized wrecking.
Good heavens, not here, though?
Yes, sir. Along this coast.
Always had wrecks here, you know. A very dangerous coast.
Lloyd's discovered that these wrecks had one curious feature in common.
Indeed. Drink that up. I think I'll join you with the brandy. It has been quite an eventful morning. What had these wrecks in common?
There were never any survivors.
Pengallen drains his brandy at one go.
Mr. Traherne, if what you tell me is true, it's the most dreadful thing I've ever heard. We hear of wrecks down here, of course.
Lloyd is consulted with the Home Office. They became convinced that these wreckers received accurate information of the movements and cargoes of ships passing this.
Captain Murray wishes to say goodbye to you, sir.
Would you...
Excuse me. Just going, Sir Humphrey. Enjoyed myself immensely. On the word, sir, you're a prince.
Goodbye, Captain. Bon voyage, huh?
Coming back again, sir?
Coming again. I shall be thinking of you out there in this wind. I'm sitting over by port tonight, huh? What?
Sorry, good.
Well, Mr. Traherne, kindly continue.
My researchers took me to Jamaica Inn. The landlord Merlin is the ringleader. That wreck last night was carried out by his men.
You were actually there?
No, thank heaven. I was still out the basin. I helped carry the goods up afterwards.
Have you reported all this to your superiors?
No, not yet.
The squire sits down.
I'm after bigger fry than Joss Merlin.
I don't follow you. You said he was the ringleader.
At Jamaica Inn, yes. But he gets his orders from outside. His information comes from outside. His thinking's done for him outside.
By whom?
I don't know. Merlin's own wife doesn't know. The gang don't even know. But that's the man we've got to find.
Pengallen looks out his window. The wind is picking up again. He points to the trees bending with it.
Yes. Joss has called the men for the night. There's to be another wreck. But they won't know where until they get information from their real leader. And in order to give them that information, he'll be going to the inn tonight.
We must get there first.
No, sir. We can't do that single-handed. If I could borrow one of your horses, I'll ride for help to the nearest garrison.
Ah, yes, but that will take time. We mustn't let this fellow slip through our fingers. How's this? You and I will go to the inn at once. My groom can take a message to the garrison at Truro for you. What? Take some of this. You say Merlin's riffraff won't be there till later? I fancy we two can hold the fort for the military gun.
Well, I'm game if you are, sir.
I see this is positively exciting. Come in. Chadwick, your money and your life.
But no, what? Sir. I've not told Lord John.
Who's the commander at Truro?
Captain Boyle, Irishman, I believe. Good fellow in a pinch.
I'll write him a note.
No, my dear fellow, I'll do that. You get into Lord George's breeches, if you can, that is, huh? To, Captain, Boyle, officer, commanding, I'm sad. Yes, sir. Truro. What shall I, say to him? You, know, this style of thing?
Your help is needed, Ed.
Your, help is needed. That's fair.
Upstairs, Mary emerges from a dressing room in a lovely floor-length gown.
Which is the devil?
Once downstairs, she listens at the study door as Traherne dictates.
I have with me an officer of the law, James Traherne.
I am an officer of the law, James Traherne.
Appointed to investigate a number of shipwrecks contrived by the record on this test. Confess?
Right, yes.
He reports that the wreckers have their headquarters at Jamaica in Tim Gallon and have enough evidence to hang the landlord and his accomplice.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Miraculous fit. You put Lord George in the shade, huh?
I better get you a hat.
Chadwick! We must leave at once, you know.
She hides behind a pillar.
The girl, Miss Yellen, she mustn't know about this.
Oh, no. That must wait. Poor thing. Evidently devoted to her relative.
But I had no choice, Humphrey. I couldn't tell her the truth.
Oh, Chadwick, will you tell Sam I want him at once? Where is he?
In the kitchen, sir.
Sam! You better have a warm cloak. You'll need it in this. When Chadwick, will you get Mr. Traherne the blue cloak, not the one with the astrakhan collar? Get him a hat. And will you get me my cloak and hat?
Hmm.
Oh, here you are, Sam. Now, Sam.
Drive the fur as fast as you can. Deliver that to Captain Boyle at militia headquarters.
Captain Boyle?
Yes. And would you gallop all the way in?
Very good, sir.
And would you be good enough to tell Robbins I want my coach at once?
Yes.
Come along. Sherwick! Oh, thank you so much. Would you tell Mrs. Black to look after the young lady, and if she can persuade her to get a little sleep, so much the better. Thank you so much. And will you make my excuses for me, will you? And tell Lord George I'll be back for dinner.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much.
They step outside.
Robbins! Where's my coach? Isn't it ready?
The young lady came round the back and took it, sir.
What?
She said you had ordered it for her, sir.
You're bringing me down. Horses, quick, will you?
At Jamaica Inn.
You must come away with me now while there's time.
What's happened?
That man I cut down, Jem Traherne, was a law officer.
No, no.
He's on his way here now with Sir Humphrey. It's sent to Truro for help.
Joyce.
Quick, I must change this dress. Get your things together before they come.
I must tell Joyce.
There's no time.
I tell you, I'll not leave without Joyce.
Don't you understand? They know the truth. And I'm patient. So do I. This is your last chance to be free of him. Your last chance.
No.
He's a wrecker. A murderer.
But he's my husband. Oh, Mary, you don't understand. You don't know him.
Joss comes in. He drops his lantern.
Joss, she's come here to warn us. We must get away.
Where's that fella? Where's Traherne?
Joss, they're coming for you. Traherne, the law officer. Joss, we can't.
Pengallen and Traherne are at the door with pistols. Joss approaches the door cautiously. He too carries a pistol. He pulls the door open with his boot. Joss confronts Traherne, then looks aghast at Bedgallen.
Keep quiet.
Traherne grabs his pistol.
I need to tell you why I'm here with this officer, my lord.
He signals Joss to say nothing.
What else do you be able to get? As a magistrate, I demand the right to search your premises. Perhaps you'll show us round, Mr. Merritt. Okay, Miss Hunter.
So you're here. How quick of you, Mr. Traherne. But of course, law officers waste very little time.
I'm sorry. Come here, if you please, Mrs. Merritt.
But she had nothing to do with this.
I sincerely hope not.
Why couldn't you have been honest with me? Why didn't you tell me who you were?
Well, you could have warned your aunt, as you tried to just now.
And why not? She's innocent. You needn't be afraid she'll run away. I've tried. But nothing in this world will drive her away from Joss.
If that is the case, perhaps Mrs. Merritt would mix with something to drive out the cold. What would you like to turn? Hot bandit, please.
Up the stairs, Joss.
Joss!
Come on, get up.
I'm sorry about this, believe me. But try not to worry. We'll do our best.
The men go upstairs.
I'm patient. You've known about Joss all along.
I love him. But people can't help being what they are. Joss can't, I can't. There's nothing to be done.
You could leave him. Even now you could leave him.
Mary, go and put the kettle on the fire while I get the dinner.
This is where he comes in. Up these stairs.
You're expecting a visitor, aren't you, Joss?
He comes to one of these rooms, I'm certain. Yes? I tried that door, but it's locked. Give me the key.
You may as well. I'll break that door down. Don't be a fool, Merlin. Give him the key.
Go on, get in. Find a head, Hunter. These doors are rather low.
Oh, thank you.
This is all right.
It's never used.
What did you say, Merlin?
I say it's never used.
Well, then why's that fire light?
Go right to George.
Friends apparently expect it very soon. Use it considerate of the fellow. I like a good fire. Well, here's something.
Traherne finds a scrap of the gold cloth.
What'd you make of it?
There's blood on silk. He got silk from last night's rake. You see, he was here last night. Foolish of you to overlook this, Joss.
One might even say careless.
Traherne notices an unlit candle in the window.
See that, Sir Humphrey? There'll be many others, too. Unusual place behind the curtain.
Sir Gore?
Would you open the door at the end of the passage?
Certainly.
And Gallen obliges him.
Joss, who is it who comes here?
Would you like to know?
I'll tell you. Santa Claus, every Christmas. It'll make things a lot easier for you to tell me. You don't plan these wrecks, Joss. Who does?
You'll find out, Mr. Law Officer.
Someone is at the door, trying to open it quietly. Traherne jerks it open.
Walls covered in. I left the door open for him.
Good.
What about the signal? Better light it up for him. I'll do that. What about the women? Better bring them up, don't you think?
Right, I'll get them.
Watch it. Might touch my toddy up while you're about it.
Right.
Still blowing?
Hard as ever.
Take your orders, man.
Another wreck tonight.
Captain Murray would like to have dined with me. He dislikes the food on shipboard, you know. He was particularly mortified at having to sail past here at dinner time. Which means, let's see, Barnard's Head. 9 o'clock or thereabouts.
Yes, sir. What are they carrying, sir?
Among other things, gold. Must be quite certain, Merlin, because I need the money very particularly.
Wind whistles down the chimney. The fire flares.
If the wind drops after, I'm an indifferent sailor.
What?
I'm going to take a little holiday. I advise you to do the same.
Why, what's happened?
Is there nothing? Nothing yet. But see, your father has sent Mr. Traherne down into Cornwall. You see, they suspect. I shall come back when it's blown over.
Then it's the last one?
The last of this series. I shall catch the Falmouth packet tonight for St. Malo. I shall call back on the way. I have the gold and valuables ready for me. They're extremely fond of such things in France.
What about Traherne? When will your men be here?
Traherne brings the women upstairs.
If this is what saving your life has brought us all to, I wish to heaven I'd let you...
You don't think I'm enjoying this.
He locks them in another room.
Is there anything wrong?
Oh, no. Our friend made one of his very elementary jokes.
Well, I think we're ready for him. I've locked the women in their bedroom. That door was open and the lights in the window.
Everything intact except the man himself.
Your groom left patrol has just before us, an hour and a quarter there and back.
Which means Captain Boyle should be here within the next 10 minutes.
Hear that, Joss, it's your last chance. There's only one way you might save your skin. Name the man and tell the whole story.
Which reminds me, I took the precaution of bringing this warrant for the fellow's apprehension. Of course, his name will have to be filled in later, when we know it.
Like to write it in for us, Joss? Well, what are you waiting for? You've taken all the risks so far, you and Harry and Salvation and the rest. He's all of that. And what have you got out of it? The bare pickings.
Have you thought of that, Merlin?
You've a chance to break free of him for good. You could turn King's evidence. Why don't you, Joss? Do you think he'd hesitate in your shoes? No, a man like that would save his own skin first.
You think so?
He'd sacrifice anybody.
You seem to have a very clear picture of him. Tell me, what sort of a fellow do you think he really is?
This man deliberately plans not only the wrecking of ships, but the cold-blooded slaughter of any who survived the wreck. He remains aloof. Content to hire the scum of the coast to do his murderous work for him, thinking there's no blood on his own hands, but there is. Heaven help him, there's blood on that man's very soul. I'd like to break this. A minute! Watch. I'll go down and tell them to surround the place and the line over we give the way. We don't want them on view here.
Traherne races downstairs. Instead of redcoats, he finds the gang. They rush him.
Here we are.
Traherne's pistol discharges harmlessly. They have him.
Traherne, please! Look out for the gang are here!
He's got somebody with him! Get out of the back, you two, see nobody gets outside!
Traherne, please! I'm just 1 minute too late. I'll watch in the back.
Oh, there's no other way. What can we...
Are you up there, Joss? Joss!
Joss appears, backing Pengallen down the stairs at gunpoint.
Squire Pengallen. That's right, Harry, your respected justice of the peace. Brought here by your pal, Mr. Traherne, who forgot to tell you he's a law officer.
What's that? What do you think? They came here to hang us over the wreck.
We'll make a real job of it this time. Come on.
The gang hustle Traherne and the squire into their room.
Hold on. We gotta go careful, Harry.
What's the matter?
We don't want our much respected justice of the peace found here dead. People might talk.
He won't be found.
But he might be missed. Maybe they knew he was coming here.
We've got to finish him, Joss.
Surely we have, but that takes a little thinking over, and there's no time for that now, you see.
Joss takes Harry aside.
We're doing another wreck.
Tonight?
9 o'clock. We'll fix them when we come back.
Get a couple of ropes there.
Come on, Daniels.
Two are tied into chairs.
Oh, I'll do it again. It'll be a pleasure.
Joss ties Pengallen.
Do you think I came here just for you, you fools? I told you before there's somebody behind Joss. Joss knows it. If you wait here long enough, you'll see him. He's coming here tonight.
You'll shut your gab. Playing for time, are you? You'd like to see us miss that wreck we're doing tonight, wouldn't you? Well, we wouldn't miss it for worlds, see? Joss finished trusting his worship. Let's make him nice and snug. And while we're away, we've got to think of a nice little accident for you. Now, what would your worship fancy? A choice coach over the cliffs? Or perhaps you'd sooner be caught by the tide with our friend Jem here on a nice, comfortable, cozy part of the beach?
That's it. In death, they shall not be divided.
I warn you, all of you. If you lay a finger on either of us, you'll pay for it. You know it'll come to you. You'll end swinging in the wind as execution dock with a coat of tar to keep the weather out.
Your time, we went.
Well, who's going to stay with them? We can't leave them here without somebody. What about Salvation? He can talk to Mr. Traherne about eternity.
Him? Huh, not me.
We'll need all hands down on the shore. Patience will watch him. Run upstairs and fetch the women. They're locked in the bedroom.
I'm sorry to see you here, Willie Penhale. I told you when you were up before me for poaching last year, you were falling amongst evil companions. You see, I was right. You should have listened to me, my boy.
The women enter.
Well, it looks as though your wish is going to come true. You might just as well have left me where you found me.
What's she doing here, Joss?
Well, she came here to warn us, Harry.
Well, that's handsome of her, I must say. She started the whole thing. I don't see why...
I look after her, Harry. I got a nice job for your patience, my dear. Take this and watch the two gentlemen.
But you can't leave a woman in charge, Joss.
I tell you, I'll need a lot of you down at the beach. They're well tied, aren't they? Besides, this will be all the better for a finger that's nervous like on the trigger. I shouldn't move, your worship, bearing that in mind. You wouldn't like your suit spoiled with a bullet hole, I'm sure. Don't be frightened, my dear. You'll have no call to use it, most likely. Come on, look lively now.
Patient, you can't let this happen. You can't leave them like that.
Stop you. Murdered. You're coming on with us.
Take your hands off her, Joss. You can't take it to the wreck. Joss!
Oh, of course not, Mr. Treherne. I'm going to leave her behind to cut you loose for the second time in 24 hours.
Come on now. Helen, last to me for her safety.
Yes, your worship.
Patience is left alone with the prisoners.
What's happened to the military? Where the devil have they got?
Something must have delayed them.
But then it can't be a chance to save the wreck.
That'll be difficult, you know. We don't know where it's going to be.
Humphrey, I'll tell you something. Our man came here, but he left before us.
How do you mean?
He must have done, otherwise Joss wouldn't have known about the wreck. I warn you, Mrs. Merry, that if Captain Boyle finds you like that, nothing will save you.
This is very annoying. I told Chadwick I'd be back for dinner. Now, Mrs. Merlin, I wonder if that pistol's loaded. Probably you're an experienced policeman. Would you like me to have a look at it?
That's no good, sir. That'll never work.
Very well, Mrs. Merlin. See if it's properly primed. I'm afraid you're not fully conversant with the real facts of the situation. I know your husband better than you do. I think he would no more have loaded that pistol than he would have left me helpless.
The squire shakes off the rope.
Thank you, sir. Now, Mrs. Merlin, I've always admired your devotion to your husband. The woman shall plead for the man, even if the man is our friend Joss, admirable. Now, if this officer should escape, your husband will pay for it with his life. So I needn't stress the importance of the task I'm giving you. There.
Pengallen hands her the loaded pistol. Patience and Treherne are stunned.
Watch him. Just then. With the slightest chance of him getting free, don't hesitate to shoot him. Skip down pressure on the trigger, Mrs. Merrin. On the trigger. And all will be well. No.
You've forgotten one thing, Pengallen, and no doubt that's the Captain Boyle. There's still a military to reckon with.
There is no Captain Boyle. In consequence, there'll be no military.
Pengallen saunters out.
Mrs. Merrin, you've got to let me go. Quick.
Please, don't move.
At the beach, the sea rages. Joss alights from the cart he has brought.
Up to the beacon with you, quick!
When the game's on, I turn in the
right. I drummed your man's size, baby!
I never see anything.
Off with you! Run!
The young man climbs to the lantern on the headland. Standing in the cart, Mary watches him go.
Would you like me to bring you back a nice drink? Including the finger, if you follow me.
Come on out of there!
A ruffian lifts Mary from the cart.
Hold on to her, Cashmore!
Mrs. Mary, where's the wreck going to be? You can't let it happen. You set me free. Innocent men and women are going to die, and you'll be responsible. You love your husband, I know that. And I know it's my duty to take him if I can. But the men on that ship have wives, too. Think of that. Think of yourself if Joss was on board. That ship sailing down through Falmouth in the gale. Somewhere on the shore, a beacon is going out. You see the rest, the ship shuddering and striking, her men spread out in the yard like flies, clinging to the rigging, screaming at the sight of the surf. And after the wreck, the wolves. That's why you must let me go. That's why you must tell me where that wreck is.
I can't. I don't know, I tell you. I've never known.
She flees from the room.
Mrs. Riley. Let me go now and I'll find out where it is. Time is hardly time.
I can't. What will happen to Joss?
You must make a choice. The lives of those men and of other men in the future are the life of Joss. After all, Joss is only one man.
Yes, but he's my man.
Mrs. Merlin, supposing I allow your husband...
The gang gathers at the water's edge. At the inn, Patience stands by an empty, overturned chair. Out on the heath, Treherne hails the coach.
Hey!
Oh, up!
Where's the nearest little gap?
Bodmin, what?
I want your coach. Give me those reins in the name of the law. Here's my one.
Storm-tossed ship. Mary slips away unseen. Rough-hewn path to the lantern. The ship draws nearer. The lantern is resting on the ground, its keeper looking keenly out to sea. Gets to it and lifts it up to warn the ship. The lad discovers her. She drops the light as they struggle madly in the howling wind. The ship stands on, still bearing for the treacherous rocks. On the hilltop, the lantern flickers and dies, but not before setting Mary's discarded cloak afire. The lad tumbles over the edge. Holding her burning cloak by the hem, Mary raises it on the mast. Ship, they see the distant flame. The ship comes about and sails out to sea. A ruffian drags Mary back down to the beach. Joss gets in the cart with Mary and drives away. Harry shoots. Joss falls in the cart. Mary grabs the reins.
Chadwick, I don't know how long my business will take me. I may be away for some weeks. I think that'll be all.
Very good. Sir Humphrey, sir.
What is it, Sam?
I couldn't deliver this note, sir. The regiment left Tudor for Bodmin 3 weeks ago.
It did.
And nobody's heard of any Captain Boyle.
Extraordinary.
Shall I try Bodmin, sir?
No, it's of no importance. I think that'll be all, Chadwick. I can't give you my address in front.
Sir Humphrey Pengallen boards his coach.
Chadwick, huh?
You'll pardon the liberty. You're not ill.
Ill, Chadwick? Ill? I've never felt better in my life. Come here. Actually, I'm growing younger. Yeah. So much younger. Picking a beautiful young girl with me on my travels, huh?
Yes, sir. Is there anything more?
Yes, sir. Don't stand there with that look in your eyes. Sam?
Sir?
Keep the mare at bay in good condition, won't you? And, come here. What's Chadwick? Is the line going? Drive on, will you?
Mr. Chadwick? It's,
I've seen that coming along for years.
At Jamaica Inn.
Our patients! Mary! Joss, what happened? Joss is hurt!
They help Joss from the cart.
Mary! Mary, what happened?
I stopped the recantation. The men came for me and just saved me. They shot me.
They get him into a chair by the fire and remove his jacket.
Patience, my dear.
You're all right, Joss. I'm taking care of you.
You're a good girl, Patience. I'm sorry.
Joss passes out. The women set about dressing his wound.
Where's Jim? I'm patient enough.
I set him free. He went to find the rest. Mary, promise me that Joss escapes. You know what that means? We can leave here. We can leave here together, Joss and I. You must help me, Mary. We must go quickly while we can. Mary will begin again. Think of it. To be able to live without fear among the few people who don't know
us. Yes, Auntie.
She'd be like the first days in Bodmin. Joss' assistant then. So strong. He'll soon get better. Won't he?
Of course. In a moment, when he's recovered a little, we must move in. We can't wait. Joss mustn't be here when he comes back.
Who? Oh, Mary, I haven't told you. I didn't know myself until tonight. But I've always known Joss wasn't his own master. There's someone else, Mary. Someone who planned the wreck and had Joss in his power. Tonight I find out who. Mary!
Patience falls dead.
Our patience!
Blinded, our patience. Give me a drink.
Yes, Joss, yes.
Joss dies. His body slips from the chair.
A good clean shot, wasn't it? I'm sorry.
Poor creature. She has suffered so much. I was forced to do it. You see, she was going to tell you about me. I didn't like that. I wanted to tell you myself. So you stopped the wreck? Pity, I was counting on it. You're a very brave young lady, but you've made my position very difficult.
Let it go! Let it go!
Please don't scream like that. I shall have to put this handkerchief in your mouth.
He ties a gag in her mouth.
You must tell me if that hurts. Of course you can't. How silly of me. Put your hands down. Put your hands down. Then I shall have to tie them up too. This will prevent the cord from cutting your wrists. You see, you're quite alone now. You have no one else in the world except myself.
So I'm going to take care of you. We're going away together.
We should be going now. Treherne may come back. You'd better put this on. It's wise to wrap up well.
While this cold wind's blowing, I'm always telling people they can't be too careful, but they think they know better. And you wouldn't want people to see you like that, would you? I'm glad you're quiet now.
Bound and gagged, cloaked and hooded.
Now come along. My coach is not far away.
She breaks away and bends over patients weeping.
We must hurry. We must hurry. We must hurry.
Outside, the gang is approaching.
And the girls with him.
But Jaws, what about Jaws?
Come on.
Trian's gone too.
Jaws!
Jaws! Oh, Jaws! Harry! Here! Quick!
Dead. Both of them. You shouldn't have done that to Jaws, Harry. If you ask me, it's time we moved on.
What are you all standing there for? Get out! Don't keep together. Scatter!
Come down! Treherne is at the door with soldiers. He catches Harry on the stairs.
Now, where's that girl? A question. Come on, now, where is she? Tell me. Take it calm now, take it calm. You're going to be disappointed, Mr. Treherne. She's gone and found herself another gentleman. I just need her sneaking off alone with his worship.
We've got to find them, Captain. We've been here half a dozen men.
Sergeant, I want 6 men to ride with Mr. Treherne and myself.
I don't like it at all. Was breaking that bit of looking glasses, did it? I told you. 7 years bad luck.
No, Danny, not more than 7 days. Not counting eternity.
What'll he do? What's going to happen to us?
Oh, it'll be a proper public execution with the women watching.
In a cabin on the Falmouth Packet.
An old woman to attend you. I'll see to your new clothes myself. Yes, I'll dress you, my dear. And we've put silk next to that smooth skin of yours. Pale green silk, I think, well.
He removes the gag.
Back! Stop crying! Stop it, you little fool! Be beautiful! Oh, hide his nails if you like, but you must be beautiful. Well, you have to be hard now. The age of chivalry is gone. The glory of Europe is extinct.
Treherne and the soldiers arrive at the quay.
Back to the quayside! They may be coming to you. Of course, you can't go with them.
Mary runs for the deck, Pengallen after her. Treherne grabs a rope and scrambles aboard. Pengallen appears on deck, holding Mary and a pistol.
What about Captain Johnson? I'm here, Sir Humphrey Pengallen. Give yourself up, I beg you, Sir Humphrey, and let her go.
Pray, keep your... just careful. We mean it possible.
No. Take care, lead away from him as far as you can.
No, no, don't shoot. He can't help himself. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's mad, I tell you, mad.
Traherne approaches stealthily through the crowd on deck. Pengallen's pistol is at her head.
Please be still.
But Traherne is just behind him now. Sensing something, he turns to face Traherne and Mary twists free. He climbs into the rigging. Traherne starts after him.
Sam, don't harm him. It's not his fault. He can't help
himself. Hold it a moment, Dave.
Chadwick arrives in a carriage with a friend of Pengallen.
Heavens, what's the squire doing up there?
Pengallen reaches the yardarm.
Up and give yourself up! You'll not be harmed, I promise you! Come down, sir! I shall be down to you before you're up to me, Mr. Traherne! If you'll be kind enough to give me rope!
He drops his pistol to the deck. Sailors in red coats start up after him.
What are you all waiting for? A spectacle? You shall have it. And tell your children how the great age ended. Huzzay for Pengallen!
Pengallen plunges to his death. Traherne helps Mary from the ship. Then through the crowd on the quay. They share a sympathetic look with Chadwick. Who can only shake his head. The End. A Mayflower production.
This described version of Jamaica Inn was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by Robert Goodman, narrated by Donna Prising, and woven into the soundtrack by Valerie Hochschild.